And let's just look some more about this shaking, okay? Now, I have all these notes here on the blood of Jesus. But we'll just dock those for a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just... I don't know, God's called me to pastor, you teach, but I also, every once in a while, like a prophetic anointing comes upon me. And when it does, I just hear and obey. Hear and obey. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know whether something's prophetic or not, if it lines up with the Word of God, because the Spirit and the Word have to agree, but it also has to come to pass. Are you with me? I mean, you know, if you're a leader and you don't have anybody following, you're just out for a walk. But this is that passage here. And let me just give you, you know, in these 8 or 10 minutes I've got here, to show you something here about this shaking that's going on. And he says in verse 28, I'm in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, and you know, in this church, when we see a therefore in the Bible, we're supposed to look and see what it's, yeah. And it's in reference to the fact that God is shaking things, but we have received the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Okay? Now, there's things that we must focus on during this season of shaking. Because God does everything for a purpose. And everything in His kingdom is unshakable. So our goal is to line up in the kingdom principle and be part of His kingdom. Okay? Well, he says in verse 28, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Or you could use that word interchangeably as worship. You could worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So here's the first thing. When there's a shaking going on, there has to be an intimate worship. Now, I'm helping you right now, so these are very important things, okay? I didn't know when the Lord would want to bring this out, but there has to be intimate worship. We have to come to a place where God has chosen us, God has called us, and we need to find where we fit in to the body of Christ. And in order to do that, there has to be intimate worship. Are you with me? Okay, say intimate worship. In the times of shaking, our devotional life must not be a duty, but it must be an intimacy. The whole purpose of this is that the people of God draw closer to God. People are going to rise in the church. Not just this one, but I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Into a new level of light that they have not previously entered into. There are people that have sat in churches for years, but all of a sudden they're going to get a fresh revelation of what God has placed them in the body of Christ to do. Now, that's just by the Spirit of God. I'm speaking these things to you. Now, here's the second one, okay? Because, I didn't know when God wanted me to bring this out. But he said, let brotherly love continue. Go right into verse 13. Because here's the next thing. There has to be compassionate outreach. We have to continue. It says, do not forget to entertain the strangers, for by doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if they are chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So there has to be a continuous outreach. I instructed, and the men had their fellowship. I said, we have to have a purpose. We have to have a sense that we're accomplishing something. We can't forget about the widows. We can't forget about the orphans. By the way, we just sent over $1,200 yesterday to the orphanage in Matamoros. Give yourself a praise, God. Okay? I don't know where Jerry, they're not here tonight, but I know he took it over to them yesterday. All right? There's the times of shaking make us focus, first of all, inwardly, because the enemy is shaking the time, the space, and all the things that we are seeing externally to get us off of the focus of what God is doing in the earth, preparing His body, preparing the bride of Christ. And it's very easy, and I think most of us would validate that statement, it's very easy right now with everything that's going on to allow our focus to get outward instead of inward. So there has to be an inward focus, but there has to be coming back to a place where you're accomplishing the purpose in which God has left us here in the earth. And then verse 4 talks about marriage and family. And I just got through sharing with you a little bit about how that just one generation can take a whole nation away from righteousness. We have to have, in the time of shaking, strong families. Your marriage, your family relationships are your most important allies during the shaking. There is no more powerful agreement between a husband and wife than them to come together in the agreement. Then read on down here in verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Because God has said He will never leave you or forsake you. So in the time of shaking, not only do we have to have strong families, but we have to have strong finances. Because God is going to use us. Remember, He uses the church. It was never to be put in the hands of the government. It's always been put in the hands of God people. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. Amen. I said God wants to use you as that instrument in the earth in these last days to be the lender and not the bar. God's called us to be the head and not the tail. Are you with me? And so there's a couple more things here. In verse 7, it talks about maintaining a spiritual connection. It's important that not only you come to church, but you connect in that church. Look what it says. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So everyone needs to have a local church, and everyone needs to be accountable. Amen. We need to have the Word of God constantly imparted into our life by somebody that is living and operating and speaking faith. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And in the sixth thing, how many have I given you so far? The sixth thing is found in verse 9, and it has to do with staying and maintaining yourself in sound doctrine. Now, I spent a couple of Sundays, remember, just teaching you what we believe, because that's the problem that we have today. People do not know what they believe. They don't understand even what their own church believes. And I can assure you that sometimes the church stands for something, but the people in the pew do not know what they stand for. And if you can't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. The devil is a master deceiver. Are you with me? Yes. So it says, don't you be carried about with strange doctrines. It is good that the heart be established by grace. And in the time of shaking, see, there's all kinds of weird things that come across, and you know, people trying to manifest the Spirit of God. But I mean, no, you do not manufacture the Holy Ghost. Amen. You do not manufacture revival. You do not manufacture healings, because the devil transforms himself as an angel of light. And then the last thing that I'll share with you on this, I just want you to see these things, okay, is in verse 16, is in the faithfulness of our giving. It says, do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. In the times of shaking, we see that even God is able to shake a great nation like the United States of America. God is able to shake Wall Street. God is able to shake the institutions that have been here for years and years and years. God is sovereign. Can somebody say amen? And we are in, and we teach you here, if you stick around here long enough, you're going to learn that you are on a different system. You are in the system we call the kingdom of God. And that system, I can tell you and just guarantee you tonight, it will never fail. God will never need to be bailed out. And God's economy system is doing just fine. And God's church is going to do just fine. We can't get off like Elijah, you know, get to feeling sorry for ourselves, how he began to cry and, you know, moan and complain that there's just nobody else in the land that wanted to worship God. He was the only one. But, you know, God spoke to him and said, no, I got 7,000 more out there just as on fire as you are. And there's a lot of people that are on fire. And birds of a feather need to flock together. Amen. And it is important who you associate with. It is important who you hang with, guys. Because bad company, the Bible tells us, will corrupt good morals. And you're hanging with a lot of bad company in those schools. You're hanging with a lot of bad company on the places that you work in. So you better understand your place. You better remain strong and stay connected and be strong and get yourself in a place where the blessing of God can be poured out upon your life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Because when we tithe, and when we bring our offerings to the storehouse of God, which is our church, then we have a promise from God that He said He would rebuke the seed eater. He would rebuke the devourer for our sake. And we would be a glory of God in the land. We would be a reflection of His glory. And all nations, all people would envy us. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. We are on the winning side. We are not the victims, but we are the victors. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Come on, stand up and shout with me just a little bit. Come on, just shout with me. Say, God, I'm glad to be on your side. God, I'm glad to be on your side tonight. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord. I'm not on the loser side. I'm not on the down and trodden outside. Jesus lifted me. Love lifted me. Hallelujah. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from that grave. Same Spirit of God that raised Jesus out of the snare. The devil thought he had him trapped. But about the time he thought he was ready to celebrate his victory, God raised him from the dead. And I tell you, the devil thought he had you. The devil thought he just didn't realize. He didn't realize that somebody could come from glory, come into this earth, be born of a virgin, be born by the word of God, that would be the acceptable. I can't wait till I teach you about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Which the Bible says will purge your conscience from dead works. Purge your conscience. You know what your conscience is? That's the person that talks to you on the inside of you. Now, you need some talking too sometime. Sometimes you think too lowly of yourself. Sometimes you think too highly of yourself. And sometimes you don't think of yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a pretty short sermon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the pastor, he's used to long-winded sermons, and he got up one Sunday, he only preached 5 minutes. Next Sunday he got up, only preached 5 minutes. Man, the congregation said, wow, man, the pastor really changed. He's only going 5 minutes. Wow. The next service he got up and preached 2 hours. And everybody went, whoa, what happened? He said, well, I got to tell you the truth. He said, that first Sunday, he said, I got new dentures and they hurt like a son of a gun. And I couldn't talk more than 5 minutes. He said, that second Sunday, I forgot to put them in, and I didn't want to sound funny in front of you guys. Yeah, but what happened that Thursday? He said, well, I have to tell you, I grabbed my wife's dentures, I put them in, and I haven't stopped talking yet. Somebody say a joy heart, a merry heart. Does good like a medicine. Come on, children, give the Lord the praise. Come on, kids, shout to Jesus if you love him tonight. He's the Lord. Hallelujah. Do we have any visitors in here?